Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to a big game for the Vols against Missouri coming up tomorrow. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in John Adams from the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, what's going on? How we doing?
Doing okay, guys.
Well, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, John. So let's just start with your initial impressions of this Tennessee team. We're four games in. They're 2-2. Have had some good moments. Have had some moments that have been rough to watch as well. What's been your overall impression of the squad that Josh Heupel and company have put out there through four games?
Well, just a plethora of question marks. I mean, one thing, the killer, and there are only two games where they were playing competitive teams, Pittsburgh and Florida. They lost both. Real self-destructive tendencies, incredibly stupid stuff. You know, everybody gets penalized, but some of these were so unnecessary. When you got an offensive lineman trying to clean up a pile over one of your running backs, you know how that's going to go. They're going to flag that every time, getting two penalties on one play. Those are the, to me, main problem. I mean, there's an overall lack of talent. You start with that, but as you know, when you got a lack of talent, your margin of error is very thin. So you get 80 yards in penalties or even more, you're going to have a hard time winning games. So that's, if they can clean all that up, coaches always say, we can clean that up. Well, they don't always get the full cleaning job done. So we'll see how that goes. But they can, even against Missouri, they're 3-point underdog. They were 3-point underdog to Pittsburgh, lost a close game, and they did themselves in. And they could do that if they do that against Missouri. Same thing will happen.
It's all correctable. It's correctable, John. Yeah, you know, that's always a,
that's,
oh, yeah, these
right,
are correctable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know how it is. It's like a guy, you know, if you say somebody can run, he's slow, well, you can't correct that. But if a guy makes stupid penalties all the time, oh, yeah, you can fix that. Well, that's as much a part of who he is as the speed. You know how it works, but coaches like to think, they always want to think we can fix something because that gives you hope. We can fix that, but doesn't always work that way. Teams start out, they finish the way they start out a lot of times.
Yeah, and a lot of times the lack of speed or strength or whatever relative to your opponent is what causes penalties. But I think this team has done some dumb stuff that there's just no reason to do it. But John, just overall, then, you know, your impressions of Heupel as a coach, and small sample size, long way to go, but what have you liked the most? What have you disliked the most?
I like his play calling. I think he's a good play caller. And he might be one of those guys, as it turns out, that's a better offensive coordinator than he is a head coach. We'll see. You got to give him time. But I do like the way I think he's adept at play calling. My gosh, they've had a lot of open receivers. And the play didn't turn out as intended, not because of the strategy behind it. It was because the guy dropped the pass, the quarterback overthrew the receiver, things like that. So, yeah, I like him as a play caller. I think he picked the wrong quarterback. He's finally figured that out. Joe Milton, I don't know. He was the same guy you saw last year at Milton. At Michigan, and I think a lot of times, getting back to what we said earlier, coaches think, well, I can fix that. Well, no, he still overthrows receivers. He still throws it 100 miles an hour if the guy's 5 yards from him. So Hendon Hooker is a much better option because he's a gifted runner, and that gives him a chance. I kind of think he'll play against Missouri. They're in trouble if he doesn't play, but I think, you know, if he plays, I think they'll be okay. One thing else I like about him, I think his teams have played hard. His team has played hard, and I think it's played pretty loose. I like what I saw against Tennessee, against Florida. I thought Tennessee came out in a hostile environment, played well, played with confidence, and I give some of the credit to that for the coaching staff. A lot of Tennessee teams through the years have gone into the swamp and really tightened up, perhaps in part because the coaches really tightened up because they were scared to death what might happen to them there. And I thought Tennessee played very aggressively, too aggressively at times, but in very loose. So I like those things about Heupel. It's hard to judge him on his recruiting. Tennessee's off to a bad start by its standards in recruiting. But no other Tennessee coaches had this NCAA investigation hanging over its head. And I just think that's a huge factor in the slow start in recruiting.
John, I kind of want to camp out on your thoughts on Joe Milton, because there's a portion of Tennessee fans that say, man, he's got a great arm, obviously, and he can throw it all over the field. If you just work with him and correct the accuracy issues, then you're looking at a really good quarterback. And then there's the other camp that says, well, how much can you really fix on the accuracy issues part of this? Where do you kind of fall in line on Joe Milton, and how correctable, to use that word again, do you think some of these issues are?
Well, I think he is what he is. This is if he were a true freshman, maybe. I was a student at LSU, and this guy predates you, had a quarterback named Burt Jones. And he played for the Baltimore Colts, had a nice career with the Colts. He got hurt. He had one of the strongest arms I've ever seen. He could throw it out of the stadium, much like Milton. I've seen other quarterbacks. John Elway had the strongest arm I've ever seen. But he threw a catchable ball. Even though he threw it hard, it was a tight spiral, and I think it was easier to catch. Some of Milton's passes are wobbly, some are tight, but I think it's harder to catch with him. And he, like I said, if he were a true freshman, I'd say you can maybe work with him and get this fixed. But this is his fourth college season, and he's still doing the same thing. He's still got that 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but he hasn't figured out on a deep ball, you got to, as they say, put some air under it. I mean, if he hadn't figured it out by now, why would he figure it out next week or next month? So I just don't think this is fixable. I think there's a chance he could go out and have a big game every now and then. He did that at Michigan. But it's not just the arm. He does not have good field vision. I mean, there was an inside blitz coming against Pittsburgh. And I know it's harder sometimes. Some of these QBs don't pick up on that corner blitz. But this is right in front of you. This is in the A-gap. You can pretty much see this guy's coming. And it's as though he's never saw him. And he was sacked, stripped, fumble recovery for Pittsburgh. I've had three different readers write me and say, he's got a vision problem. They need to get him to an eye doctor. One person even said, hey, he's got peripheral vision is not good. And I don't know about that, but I know his field vision is not good. He just doesn't see things. And I just don't think at this point, as I said earlier, when your team has a slight margin of error, that you can count on this guy. That's why I would stick with Hendon Hooker and hope he can stay well.
I'm just appreciate you being willing to date yourself by talking about Burt Jones, John. Bless you for that.
I don't mind. I'm 73 years old, and I feel every bit of it a lot of times, but I take that as a badge of honor.
As you
and
should.
But he will. Burt Jones, though, I saw him as a freshman. That's back when you had freshman teams in college. That's how long ago that was. It was just like a wild. I mean, he was so erratic, but boy, from one year to the next, you could just see this guy when he became a Raider-like accurate, and he was really good with the Colts before he got injuries.
And didn't have to worry about his Twitter mentions.
That's true.
So that's kind of a nice deal about guys back then. So on this team, John, the defense, I do feel like Byron Young could could potentially help. I think another pass rusher to pair with Tyler Barron could really make a difference. Haven't been super impressed with any of the inside guys at linebacker. What do you think is – but I do think like they've played hard, and it's hard after that the way the Florida game turned out to say, hey, good job defense. But I liked like a lot of the game defensively in terms of their effort, swarming to the ball, seeming to know what they were supposed to be doing, playing fast. But what's the best case for this defense the rest of the year?
Well, cut down on the mistakes. Not just play hard, but play smart. And I do like the way they kind of go to the ball, all of them. They play with a lot of energy, and I give the coaches some credit for that too. They're not reticent. They just go for it. But you mentioned, like, Jeremy Banks, an inside linebacker. He's a hard hitter. He'll make some of the plays. But, gosh, I don't know if I trust him to cover you. That part of his game, his decision making, that will get Tennessee beat more than once. It's inside linebacking play is not good, and we didn't think it would be good. In the secondary, Theo Jackson, he's having an all SEC type year. He's all over the field. He's very good at reading offenses. He really works at his craft, and I don't know what they did with him when Pruitt was here, but Jeremy Pruitt, but he's playing really well. But I still see some of the same problems that I saw last year with Pruitt's defense, and it was very evident against Florida. All of a sudden, you just see guys wide open, and it's coverage breakdowns, and that's still happening, and that's going to be a real concern against Missouri with this kind of dink and dunk offense. But they throw a lot of passes, they throw short passes, and they rely on defenses breaking down. And I'm sure they've taken note of Jeremy Banks in coverage at inside linebacker and say, hey, that's somebody we can work with. He could be an ally for us.
John Adams from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. John, great stuff as always, my friend. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, what a legend. John Adams from the Knoxville News Sentinel.
And he knows. He realizes my speed and change of direction.
Be a big problem.
Jeremy Banks couldn't cover me.
Yeah, be a big problem for Jeremy Banks. Great stuff there from John Adams. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the Vols. Look ahead to this game tomorrow against Missouri. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Brentwood this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at the Corner Pub in Brentwood prior to the Titans taking on the New York Jets. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to National Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. The Sounds are taking on Indianapolis, the AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 5:50 and first pitch is at 6:05. The final two games of the season coming up this weekend as well. The first pitch on Saturday at 6:05. That will be streaming only. And then Sunday, first pitch at 12:35 on 102.5 The Game. So Nashville Sounds baseball regular season action wrapping up this weekend. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. The Vols taking on Missouri tomorrow. And this is a big one for Josh Heupel. We've talked about it this week. This is going to go a long way, in my opinion, in determining whether or not they reach that 6-win mark this year. And I guess we'll find out if 6 wins means a bowl game or not at some point for Tennessee this year, depending on if they decide to self-impose or if they don't. But no news on that so far.
Yeah, and I think there was a push to get it over with for the season, self-impose and all that, and
didn't happen.
It didn't happen, and I feel like maybe the folks who were like, why do that given the landscape out there. I think maybe their voices are being heard a little bit more loudly. But at this point, you know, this team is fighting for a bowl game.
Yeah.
Until it finds out otherwise.
That's right. So Heupel, a big one going up against a place where he was the former offensive coordinator tomorrow in Missouri. This is a big-time game for him, and I think a big-time game for Josh Heupel in terms of you need to be able to push through and respond and win games like this at some point. And we know it, and John said it in the last segment. The talent on this group, they've got some guys that can play, and they can play at a pretty high level. But the overall talent with this Tennessee team is not all that high. I think it's good enough to beat Missouri, but it's not all that high. This is, to me, is a big response, and we heard Alante Taylor talk last week about this team is not going to fold. They're not going to fall apart like they did a year ago. Well, it's one thing to say that. You've got to go out there and do it, and now an opportunity in a game where I continue to say this is a game that Tennessee should win, and quite frankly, a game I expect them to win coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree. I mean, I think it's a toss-up game, but I think they have a really good chance to win it. And I think it'd be a big win. If they lose a close game because, you know, defensively, they just, you know, I mean, I could see this game being like a whoever has the ball last kind of game. I really could.
Yep.
Like, I think if Bazelak gets going, like he can get going, and if Tennessee's defense is roughly what we've seen from Tennessee's defense, then I just could see this being kind of a track meet kind of game. They both play tempo, obviously. You know, Drinkwitz is a big, you know, he's a disciple of that too. So you're going to see fast offenses. You're going to see some three and outs that take 4 seconds off the clock. You're probably going to see a 4 hour plus game, by the way. So settle in on this one. But it's not like the road environment means all that much. You know, it's a good thing for Tennessee to play this, I guess, early. I don't know how much excitement there is about Missouri football in general right now. But, you know, Tyler Beatty is a stud. He is a really good, running back who catches a lot of passes, leads him in touchdown catches, has 3 receiving, 5 rushing, 6-3 a carry, 417 yards already. I mean, you know, the Vols have got to be aware of him. And again, they've got to affect Bazelak. That to me is the, there's one thing that you're not sure they can do or not, that if they do, I love their chances. It's just to save yourself a couple possessions or burn a couple of their possessions by getting to him.
I still sense a bunch of, I don't know that apathy is even the right word, but there's not much of a sense of excitement with this group still through 4 games. Offensively, and you know, to John's point, they've played 2 quality opponents this year, and they've lost in both of those games. I mean, Missouri's a quality opponent for Tennessee. I mean, we'll get to the picks coming up later in the next segment and Pigskin Pick'em. But I do wonder, like, if you can win an SEC game, and maybe you can stack a couple together, Missouri and South Carolina, can they start to generate some excitement, or do you just look at this schedule if you're a Vols fan and say, I mean, the absolute max is like 6-6, 7-5. How do you want me to get excited about that? It's just been – it's an interesting pulse of this Tennessee fan base right now as it sits today.
Yeah, it's obviously a beaten-down fan base. You can speak to that.
Yes, I can.
You have to – you know, it's another first year of another coaching tenure, and you got to have more patience each time, really. So if you can, you know, separate yourself and you know, from whatever you think this program should be and understand what it is and what it's been recently, then I think there's a lot of intriguing things about this team. And, again, I agree with John. We've talked about it, and just like John Adams said, really like what Josh Heupel does offensively. It's not just the tempo, but it's what they do. They got some really nice little rub routes and stuff to get guys open. I mean, he's scheming guys open all over the field. So, I mean, it's a more fun brand of football to watch. Way more fun, right? Like, yeah. It's way more entertaining. But, again, some people are just not – in a fan base like this, just not going to get excited about the push for 6-6.
So it sounds like John Adams is pretty much out on Joe Milton as quarterback.
He's not alone. I'm not with him, but I understand what he's saying.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think if Hendon Hooker is able to play – he's going to be the guy tomorrow. Like, Hendon Hooker's going to start at quarterback if he's physically able to do so. I do wonder, though, like, if you're Josh Heupel, how long does Joe Milton continue to intrigue you before you just say, yeah, he just can't hit an open receiver. I don't know if I can work with that. That's an interesting question to me because I still think the upside's there, but upside's a very dangerous word when it comes to a quarterback.
What I'd love to know is Josh Heupel recruited him in high school. He's very familiar with him and the limitations slash things that need a lot of work back then. Saw him at Michigan, really wanted him, brought him in here. Does he think any differently about Joe Milton as a quarterback now that he's had him day after day in practice? I'd love to know the answer to that. And look, you can have Hooker again next year. He could come back. He could be your starter. You could be pretty good there. But I think if this carries on, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Joe Milton tries to find another spot. I mean, Joe Milton's trying to make the NFL. He's trying to prove that he belongs there. Right now, he's not an NFL-ready quarterback. His camp believes he's just a high pick waiting to pop here. But, I mean, he's not ready. Will he be? I don't know. How much does the prospect of growing with him and having him as a longer-term quarterback, how much does that factor into, like, how they make decisions on this? I don't know either, but, I mean, at this point, whatever your best bet at every position to win a game, you got to do.
We'll see if the Vols can get it done tomorrow as they take on Missouri. You can watch us streaming live today and every day on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. When we come back, it is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic still dominating this competition. We'll see if that changes. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. We pick college football and NFL games both locally and nationally here this weekend. And with that in mind, after a 6-0 week from Michelle Knezovic, a 4-2 week without the lock from Robbie Stanley, and a 2-4 week with the lock from Joe Rexrode, where do we stand as far as the standings are concerned?
That highly embarrassing graphic that Michelle put out.
Yeah.
Tells the story on Twitter. 13-5, 15 points for Michelle. 6-12, 8 points for me. 7-11, 7 points for you. So you have a better record, but I have more points because I have 2 locks and you have none.
I am 0-3 on the locks so far.
So
we'll see if we can fix that.
Do the George Costanza. Whatever you think is the toughest call, make that your lock.
Yeah, maybe so.
Whatever you think is your lock, don't make that your lock.
That's right. All right, let's kick things off on today's version of Pigskin Pick'em. Michelle Knezovic, you are in first place, so you get the honor of the first pick. UConn against Vanderbilt. The line is Vanderbilt minus 15.5. Are you going with UConn or with the Commodores?
I'm going with the Commodores. I mean, if they can't win this one, we have a serious problem here in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going with Clark Lee and the Commodores.
Joe Rexrode, UConn versus Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, a 15.5-point favorite in this game. That line, it's a little interesting.
Yeah, and I think Vanderbilt will win the game. I think they'll win by 7 to 10 points. Sub-14, I'd go with Vandy. But I think UConn actually is showing some progress, is playing better. And I think both these teams, I mean, we can joke about this game on primetime and everything, but both of them have to look at, like, how many times are we going to celebrate after a victory this year? Well, here's a great opportunity. I think they're going to come to play with as much as they have, and I think it'll be a little bit better game than that. So give me UConn in the 15.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take UConn as well in the 15.5. I just, quite frankly, don't trust Vanderbilt to take care of business in this game. So, look, I think Vanderbilt's going to win at the end of the day. UConn is a awful, abysmal football team, but I think UConn's going to cover in this game. So give me UConn plus the 15.5. Tennessee taking on Missouri tomorrow. Missouri is a 2.5-point favorite in this game. Joe Rexrode, we begin with you. You going with the Tigers or with the Vols in this game?
Yeah, I'll go with Tennessee. I think Tyon Evans has a big game against that Missouri defense. I look for him in particular to run it, maybe catch it a little bit, get into the open field, make plays. And again, I've called my shot already on Byron Young. I think Byron Baron, Bayron.
Nice.
Will will cost Missouri some possessions and be enough for the Vols to prevail in a close game and a high-scoring game.
I'm going to go with Tennessee as well, plus the 2.5. I've said it all week. This is a game that Tennessee should win, in my opinion. I think it's a game they will win. I think Tennessee is going to win this game outright, but I'll take the 2.5 points and go with the Vols in this game. Michelle Konezovic, Tennessee and Missouri. Missouri favored by 2.5.
3 for 3, guys. I'm going with Tennessee as well. I think that they need this win this week, and I think we saw them hang with Florida for a bit. I think they definitely I think they can win, too. So I'm going with Tennessee.
All right, switching to the NFL, the Titans and the Jets coming up on Sunday. Titans dealing with a ton of injuries. The Titans favored by 6.5 on the road against a New York Jets team that has not won a game. It, quite frankly, has looked pretty bad in their three games thus far. I'll start on this one. This one's tough. I'll take the Titans. The 6.5 does it for me. If this is 7.5, I don't know that I'm going with the Titans on this. I think they're going to win by about a touchdown in this game. So I will go Titans -6.5 in this game. Michelle Konezovic, the Titans and the Jets. Titans favored by 6.5.
I'm going Titans as well. I think we can beat them even if Julio Jones and A.J. Brown both don't play. We all know I don't like the Jets either. So
yeah, you don't.
That one's a little bit playing with my heart.
That's right. Joe Rexrode, Titans favored by 6.5 in this matchup against the Jets.
I mean, we're never going to catch up with Michelle if we keep having the same picks.
We went to opposite on Vanderbilt.
Yeah, UConn. That's true. Boy, really counting on UConn, you and I, on a Saturday night. I'll go Titans. I'm the exact same thing, like if it was more than a touchdown, because I think it's going to be – and this reminds me almost like the Titans at Minnesota last year.
Yeah.
When it was a huge line, I was like, no way, that's a much better game, and it was. And if this was more than a touchdown, I'd go with the Jets, because I actually think they're going to give the Titans a lot more trouble than some fans probably would like to see, but I'll give those 6.5 points.
We now move to the individual portion of Pickskin Pick'em, college football and the NFL on the table. Michelle, we begin with you. Your first individual pick.
Okay, I'm staying in the NFL. Cowboys-Panthers. Cowboys are favored by 4.5. I know the Panthers are undefeated, but I've really liked what I've seen from Dak Prescott. So I am going with the Cowboys, and that's going to be my lock, fellas.
Wow, locking it in there with the Cowboys. -4.5 against the Panthers. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection is what?
Yeah, I looked at that one too, for sure. That's an interesting one. I'm going to start college, and I'm going to go. Well, I'm going to go with my alma mater. You know, the Spartans burned you last week.
They won.
They won. They shouldn't have won. They shouldn't have won. Wills Huskers should have won that game. They did nothing on offense. Western Kentucky almost won at Indiana. Western Kentucky can throw it around the yard. They are a dangerous team coming off a near upset at Indiana. Going into Michigan State, which didn't play well. Michigan State -11. I'm going to go Michigan State. I just think the running game that Nebraska does such a great job of stopping will go nuts. Kenneth Walker, the fourth, is one of the best running backs in the country. I think they will cover that 11 points rather easily.
I'm going to start in college football as well with mine. And it's honestly one that I don't feel great about either side, but the quarterback play from Graham Mertz has been so awful that I don't really know how I could go with Wisconsin. Give me Michigan +2.5 against Wisconsin. Michigan, a 2.5-point dog in this game. Graham Mertz has just been abysmal, and I don't trust Wisconsin to score offensively. So I'll go with the Wolverines +2.5 against the Badgers.
I like that one.
Joe Rexrode, your second individual selection is what?
I go from one MSU to the other MSU. But this time I'm not picking this MSU. Texas A&M, rough loss to Arkansas. That's a tough one and kind of exposed, and it's kind of disappointing for Jimbo Fisher. But you know what? I think that's an angry football team at home at night against Mississippi State. The Aggies -7. Give me the Aggies and make that my lock. Ooh. I think they're going to take out some frustration on the Pirate.
Michelle, your second individual selection is what?
Jimbo's got to earn that paycheck, Joe. Yes. Second, I'm heading back to college football. I don't know if you guys thought the same thing, but there are amazing games this week.
Oh, it's awesome.
Incredible.
So this was an interesting one that stuck out. ACC, Clemson, Boston College. Clemson's favored by 14.5. Boston College just coming off a big win over Missouri. Clemson coming off a loss. I'm going to go with Boston College. I think Clemson is very unfamiliar with this whole losing thing, and I don't think they're going to be able to snap out of it as quickly as we think.
I like that. More Tyler Vrabel love.
That's
right.
BC plus 14.5 against Clemson. I'm going back to college football for my second individual pick. Give me Florida minus 7.5 against Kentucky and make it my lock.
Ooh.
I think Florida's going to destroy Kentucky.
Oh, my goodness.
Florida minus 7.5 against Kentucky. I don't think this one, as we get into the second half, is going to be all that close.
Dang.
Fun fact really quick. Kentucky has not beaten Florida at home since the Ronald Reagan era.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So if we do win, the little city of Lexington will burn to the ground.
Yes. So Robbie is locking that your Catterday is ruined. It's a lock to him that
I've
your
just had
this
feeling all week that Florida's
you
just
might as well just punch
Kentucky.
Me through the glass here, Robbie. Like, okay, it's fine.
So it's 7.5 on that one?
It's 7.5.
Okay.
All right, I'll start us off with the final round. For my final round, the Bucs and the Patriots. Bucs are favored by 7 in this one. I think Tom Brady is going to eviscerate New England in this game. Give me the Bucs minus the 7 against New England. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection is what?
I will also go to the NFL, and I'm also going with a road team that is favored by a touchdown that I think is about to eviscerate the home team. That would be the Kansas City Chiefs going to Philadelphia. Eagles getting 7. I will take the Chiefs. I think they're going to bounce back big at the expense of Nick S. and the boys.
Very nicely done. Michelle, your final individual selection is what?
Finally, I'm staying college football. Ohio State, 14.5-point favorite over Rutgers. I'm going Ohio State.
Wow.
The Jersey teams are going down.
No faith in Rutgers.
No faith in Rutgers.
Rutgers was flat better than Michigan last week. Yeah. Now, doesn't mean it'll play, but, you know, the problem with this, if Rutgers wins or comes close, then I got to hear Jared continue to talk about how Tennessee hired him. Like, we got to get over that.
No, it's not happening. Nope.
Hopefully Ohio State doesn't have anybody quit at halftime.
Hopefully not. That is today's edition of Pigskin Pick'em. Good luck. Michelle doesn't really need luck. She's 13-5. But, Joe, I wish good luck to you.
Yeah, good luck, Robbie.
It's only down, though. Like, I can't go perfect again.
Nice humble brag.
Yeah.
It is impossible to do better than I did a week ago.
I might have to settle for 5-1.
Yeah,
I
have to go 5-1, 4-2.
Come on, guys. Step it up. It's lonely up here.
Yeah, oh, boy. So.
When we come back, it is time for NSC Pick the Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, for your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for Nashville SC coming up over this weekend. If you do it, you will get a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. We'll do that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. And it is that time of the week. Time for NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Nashville SC in action coming up this weekend, taking on New York City. And the standings for NSC Pick to Click are this. The listeners with 7 correct answers. They've been sensational in this competition. Michelle Knezovic with 4. Robbie Stanley with 3 correct answers. And Joe Rexroad now at the bottom of the totem pole with 2 correct answers.
Everything sucks.
But, Joe, today is a lucky day for you because you have the first pick in the competition today. I didn't even get it out before you made the pick.
I already said it the other day.
You did. You were like 2 days ago.
Listen, you got to score, Mukhtar. Honey Mukhtar, you got to score. And if you do, and you help me out here, I will make it my life's work to push the MVP discussion to the absolute outer limits of the universe.
That's right. And really hammer down on Mukhtar for MVP.
I might even start an Instagram account. You know,
wow. Like that'd be a big step for you.
Just a Honey Mukhtar for MVP TikTok account. Yeah. Who knows? The possibilities are endless.
That's right.
If you don't, I would love if you to don't see you on score, TikTok. If you don't score, then it's, we're done, man. We're done.
No more conversation about Mutar for MVP.
That's right.
If he doesn't score.
It is he who shall not be named from then.
That is correct.
From then forward.
That's right. So Joe going with Hani Mukhtar in this game. I don't want to root against Hani Mukhtar, but kind of hoping he doesn't score now.
Me too.
I'm up next. I will take Randall Leao in this competition to just stifle it away from Michelle Knezovic. Leao with a goal in the last game. Really nice goal in the last game, by the way. So I'll go two games in a row. Randall Leao. Michelle Knezovic, number three on the list.
Pick Randall Leao.
I know you were. That's why I did it.
I know. That's why you did it. I think I'm going to go with – I'll just go with CJ Sapong.
She was trying to see if she wanted to go somewhere else.
I was trying to see we're going to go CJ Sapong.
He's been in a little bit of a slump, but
you know what?
He's going to break out of it somewhere.
He's going to break out of it. It's October 1st, start of a new month.
That's true.
And,
Same thing for CJ. If you score –
it's over.
Persona non grata around here.
That's right. That is NFC Pick to Click brought to you by Camarena Tequila. It's a big sports weekend here at Joe Rex Road. NFC in action, Vanderbilt, Tennessee. Preds have a preseason game at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. The Titans and the Jets on Sunday. As we start with October, I think you can contend it may be the greatest sporting month of the entire year.
It's got a great case. It's got a great case, especially I think if you love baseball, if you love baseball and hockey, to go with all the football that starts really ramping up. You got more conference play and everything, more rivalries. It's got a great case. By the way, to go back to an earlier discussion, I got confirmation from the Titans, Nick Westbrook Akina, just as we have been saying it. So anybody
correct.
Saying Akini, Akine, and all that, Akine, wrong. Nick Westbrook Akina, that's the final word.
N-W-I-W-I-N.
I just want to point out that as far as pronunciations go, we are 3 for 3 in the last three. Tyson Brilo.
Yep.
Ola Adeni. Nick Westbrook Akina.
And you get credit for Adeni because I was calling him Ola Adeni.
Correct.
I was like Adeni.
Yes.
Ola Adeni. So that one, thanks to you. Should we hit the text line real quick? Because
sure.
Heidi from Dixon does say, 4-1, here we come. Josh Allen will beat another slump by then also. So 7-2 is expected. Very.
So Heidi going from 2-1 now to 7-2.
Very sunshiny from Heidi on a Friday.
I like that.
On a Friday. Sunshiny Heidi on a Friday.
I like that. Very nicely done. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian texting in, enjoy Mukhtar while he's here with us. He's going to wind up in the Bundesliga. I hope I said that right.
I think I did. I think you did.
You're good with pronunciations, Robbie. Even first day I got here, you were like, Knezovic, and I was like, whoa.
Well, I do speak for a living, so it's important for me to say things properly most of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
That's a bunch of bull skia.
Yeah.
Skiatika.
I'm supposedly do, too. Supposedly. There is an all-time
peeve. Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Supposedly is not a word. I can tell everybody that.
It's not.
Way too many people say supposedly.
Joe, I got into it on Twitter last Saturday night during the Tennessee-Florida game when emotions were running high about the clock management for Josh Heupel at the end of the half. So, look, Josh Heupel runs a tempo offense. I get it. I like the tempo offense. I think there's something to be said for keeping the defense off balance and not being able to set up. All these things are nice. But you got later in that drive, and Tennessee, I think, had two timeouts left at the time. And I look up at the clock, and clock continues to tick down and tick down and tick down, and all of a sudden there's 13 seconds left, and they've not called either one of the two timeouts, and they have to kick a long field goal. They take the timeouts with them into the half, and, of course, they miss the field goal, and the game turns from there. I had a big problem with the way that Josh Heupel handled the clock in that situation. I thought it was poor clock management on his part from the end of it. And just to say, Josh Heupel, largely I've been pretty impressed with, especially based on my expectations so far, was not a fan of the way he handled the clock management there. And I'm interested to see in this offense, both in those situations and something we've talked about before, when you've got to kill the clock and you're up and you're trying to burn time, how does this team go about doing that? I was not impressed with the way they handled it in the first half on Saturday.
So, and here's the argument, the counter-argument, and David Ubbin made this on Twitter. This is one of the few times that I was like, no, David, no. David Ubbin's point, and I've heard this from other Tennessee people, no, this is a tempo offense. You don't let the defense get set. This is what you do well, do it well. I totally agree up until the end. So I don't advocate that they should have taken a timeout mid-drive or anything, but that one instance is exactly it. Look, I understand, oh, they're not set. Well, guess what? Your play wasn't great anyway, and you had a 47-yard attempt. At that point, you call a timeout, you get exactly what you want, and you are in a better position to make a field goal. All the way until then, great. Your tempo worked well. It's worth doing it, not letting them sub. Go at them. But with two timeouts right there, you give yourself another play or two even to take shots. I understand the value of a defense sort of scrambling around, but you just cost yourself too much clock. Ubbin on Twitter is like, 8 to 10 seconds, whatever. It's but 8 to 10 seconds when it gets to 13, that's more than half of the clock. So at some point you got to switch up and say, okay, let's come over here. Let's talk about exactly what we want to do, what matchup we want to exploit, what play, whatever it is. Yeah, the defense got set. Great. But you got to use your timeouts.
Like the tempo is great. But like at some point, common sense needs to take over too. Like you look up at the clock. All right, we might want to call a timeout here. Not take both these timeouts into the half with us. I mean, there's got to be a balance. I love the tempo. And for the large part of the game, you can use the tempo any way you want to use it. But when it comes to killing the clock at the end of the game and having some drives to try in the two minute drill before the half, you got to be a little bit smarter with the tempo and with the clock usage.
There we go.
So we'll see if they can do it.
Yeah, we got the final word on that.
Yeah.
So there. We're right, you're wrong.
Most intriguing game to you over the weekend is what? You can take
college
it.
College or pro?
Anywhere. It could be MLS.
I think I'm going to go Cincinnati, Notre Dame. Look, the college football world may not understand how important this is to you, but it's important to you. Notre Dame is like a 8-4 team.
Yeah.
They're not that good at all. And if they beat Cincinnati, unless Virginia Tech could get them, and Virginia Tech could get them in Blacksburg. But other than that, I don't see it. And Notre Dame's going to be in that playoff. And for as exciting as this season's been, I don't want Notre Dame in that playoff. And I know some people say, oh, so Cincinnati's going to go beat somebody? I don't know. I'd rather give them a shot. I think it'd be awesome to see a Group 5 team, and that team with that quarterback. I think they're better than Notre Dame. So go be better than Notre Dame. Make Ryan Porth happy and save college football from Notre Dame in the playoff.
Really looking forward to Alabama-Ole Miss. I think it's going to be awesome. I think Alabama's going to win at the end of the day, but I thought about it in Pigskin Pick'em. That line's too big for me. I think this is going to be closer than 15.5. So we'll see what happens on that front. And then, of course, Brady and Belichick on Sunday night too. It's going to be fun.
There's a lot.
I'm calling no interaction between the two.
I think you might be right on that one. It's going to be really interesting to see how that goes down. We'll be back.
Good luck on Saturday.
Monday morning at 6 a.m. to break it all down. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.